Well, here comes another one. It's the news. According to me. Yeah, it's Friday, November 21st, 8:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. Here I am. I'm Kevin, and I'm I'm here with you today with a something in my throat. I don't know what's going on here. I have good news. It's good. It's good. Good Friday. It's not Good Friday calendar. It's just a Good Friday. It's a Friday and it's good. So because of what's in my cup, and I'll get into that in just a minute. I'm gonna get in my cup. Good morning. It is the show where I tell you what I think, and then you tell me what you think about what I think, and then I'll tell you what I think about what you think about what I think. You can call the show 812-379-8778. And leave a text message or a voicemail, and I may or may not play it on the show. I have opted to not play anything on the show so far. But I might read what your text is. I might, or I might not. I might, if you just want to give me an idea of what you want to hear about me talk about, you want to say, hey, what's your, hey, Kevin, just say, hey, Kevin, what's your opinion about doobity blah, blah, blah? But then, you know, I will say, well, my opinion about doobity blah, blah, blah is that the blah, blah is the first part of the blah is after the blah, 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 blah. Anyway, yeah, feel free to do that. I have a few things to talk about today. But first, I do want to talk about what's in my cup. And by the way, this is not a show that is sponsored by anyone. And it's free to listen to. And along that same line, you get what you pay for. So, you know how that goes. I have, this is more therapy for me than it is for you. I just am able to just get on here and just talk about what I think and just like kind of spout, rant. Kind of just, I have no agenda, typically. I might jot down a few things that I'm going to talk about, but there's one thing that, usually I just kind of wake up, look at the news, kind of think about what I'm going to do, or the night before, I'll be kind of watching the news and going through my feed. On the media stuff, kind of pick up what I want to pick up and kind of see how it inspires me. And I just drop on here with all my inspiration ready to spill out all over your mobile device or whatever you're listening to. I don't know. Yeah, I have in my cup. Let's talk about my cup because that's the most important part of the show. I have chai with Almond Joy Creamer. As usual, I have that, and it feels good going all the way down. It's a little bit chilly out there. It's just cold and damp. We had some kind of rainy, cold weather, 30s and 40s. Just when it's wet, rainy, kind of drizzly. It just kind of, you know, no sunshine. Ain't no sunshine. So we've got this sunshine thing is not happening here. It is shining above the clouds. I'm aware of that. Tomorrow I will be flying around to some places that hopefully will have some sunshine. But however, no place that's any warmer. I'm actually going to be in Marquette, Michigan tomorrow night. I don't think it's going to be any warmer there. Those of you who know where that is, it's up Upper Peninsula, Michigan. And it is cold up there. Probably snowing. Who knows? Probably going to be a little frosty. On this one, I'm going to have to take a jacket on this trip, I think. And then over the weekend, I think I end up in, where do I end up over there? I think I might end up in Tallahassee, Florida. No, that's Monday. Next, I'm not sure. I think I end up in D.C. on Sunday night. That's what I believe. I'm pretty sure I end up in D.C., be out in D.C., I think Boston, over the weekend, but till Tuesday. Monday morning show will probably be from D.C., I believe, I think. If I remember correctly. Oh, and then Tuesday morning show will be from, I may not even have a show Tuesday morning. I don't know how it's going to work out. I think that will actually be a show from Cincinnati or someplace. I end up in Cincinnati at one point. Maybe that's where I'm going to be Monday morning. Actually, I think it is Monday morning. I'll be in Cincinnati. I think Tuesday morning I will be in D.C. I think I got that mixed up there a little bit. But in the meantime, I'll be somewhere. That's all I can say about that. I have some exciting news about my backup cup here this morning. My backup cup is excellent. When it was prepared yesterday, late afternoon, I decided to go ahead and make some sweet peach tea. And I know it's, I probably won't get it all drank. I usually have to make it before I, right when I get home. So I have a few days to drink it. I make it by the gallon, and I can't drink a gallon of tea in a day. So I either have to take some of it with me, which I usually do anyway, even if I make it with 3 or 4 days home. But at this moment, I am sipping on my. I had enough to drink. I made enough to drink. I drank 2 cups yesterday, and I've got a cup this morning. Made it before supper last night, which is, that's the key. You know, just make it before dinner, and then that way I have my dog is deciding he's going to start reacting here. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but you need to come over here, and you're gonna behave. We're gonna calm down. That's what we're gonna do, and we're just gonna relax a little while. he has a Chewy. Maybe he can't reach his Chewy. I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe I should just let him go and let him do his thing. Anyway, we have a few things to get into. A couple things. One of the things I've been kind of waiting for all week because it's been just bothering the daylights out of me, and I haven't been able to get it on the show, which I've kind of been wanting to kind of process it a little bit. Hear some other commentators. Not very many people are talking about this, and I have found a few people who are. It has now become an issue because the president has now spoken out on it, and he's not being kind. And I don't know that there is a way to be kind about this. I was appalled when I heard it. I was incensed, and I heard it from a more of a liberal side of things. They didn't have any commentary on it. I just heard it, and when I heard it, I was just upset. I don't know how else to put it. I was livid, and I think that it's. I'm gonna play. It's almost 3 minutes long. I think here it's two. I think it's two minutes and 51 seconds. That's how long this thing goes. This is something that the Democrats put out. Mark Kelly and some other people. They say who they are on here. They're former military, former intelligence operators, people in this thing. They're all reading the same script. Which again, this tells you something. This is a collaborative, concerted effort, which it tells me all I need to know, because this is the way this kind of stuff goes. They do this kind of thing, and they've done this kind of stuff. The Democrats do this kind of stuff all the time. These are people who were former military. It troubles me that there's even people like this in the military right now, that I'm sure that there are. There are people in the military who are going to end up running for office. Percentage of them will. And they, in the military, they probably had this attitude as well. And this is, these kinds of people are like a bad apple in the apple bunch. And I don't know if anybody ever worked around people who have a bad attitude. I've been around the block when it comes to working different jobs. I haven't had. The longest I've ever worked someplace was 7 years. Which you know, now I've had a job in a career longer than that. But to work for one particular company, I think 7 years is the most I've ever worked for any particular company. Almost 8 years, I guess. Which in my line of work is not very unusual at all to speak of. But it's Now, I'll go back on this. When I was a young kid, I had a couple jobs. I've never been afraid to leave a job. My experience early on was I would leave a job and I would find another one immediately. It just seemed like there was always an opportunity. There was always a place to work if you were willing to work. And you did good work. Of all the jobs I've had, I've only been asked to leave one. I was fired, basically. I was asked to resign. And that was working for a religious organization, a church, actually. a place that I loved working, and I loved that church. And it was very devastating and heartbreaking. It was very upsetting, I should say, for me. Because I really did care about my job. I cared about it. I was a part-time job. It wasn't even a full-time job. Part-time pay, part-time job. I was putting in more than double the hours they requested. And, of course, not getting paid for that. I was just getting paid, which I found out later was illegal. However, when I worked around a lot of different people, and I've worked around a lot of different teams, when I was a captain for the first airline I worked for, it became very obvious very quickly how a person's attitude in a small working environment, small team, could change how the whole trip went. It changed the whole experience for everybody, including the pastors. And the dynamics of a flight crew are, you typically don't fly with the same people all the time. You fly with different people every time you do a trip. It might be a 3 or 4 day trip, or maybe if you're on reserve, you might end up with 3 or 4 different crews in a 4 to 5 day stretch. Typically, pilots, flight crew who are on reserve are typically on for 5 days in a row, whereas most people who have a solid line where they know where they're going typically fly for 3 or 4 days. And it's a crazy world. And what's ironic about that is that reserve flying actually beats you up more. It takes more out of you than flying a regular trip because you know where you're going. You're not messing around. You're usually flying with the same crew for 3 or 4 days, typically. The opposite side of that is when you're flying reserve. Now, their theory is you're not going to be flying all 5 days. Unfortunately, in a pilot shortage era, especially for captains, you're working every day. If you go on call at 4:30 in the morning on a Monday, they're going to call you at 4:30 on Monday, and they're going to ask you to be there in 2 hours, and you're going to be who knows where. And by the time you get there, they might change where you're going. And you're flying with one crew, or you're deadheading somewhere to fly with another crew, or deadheading a plane back, or doing repositioning an airplane, whatever you're doing, and working to the end of your duty day. And who knows where you're going to end up? You might end up in Marquette, Michigan. You might end up in or Canada, or you might end up in someplace in southern Florida or Mexico. Who knows? So do I take my shorts or my parka? You don't know. You have to pack for anything. So you're packing more stuff, living on the road. And you may not. They may say, well, you're just going to go do a turn. You're just going to come in and fill in for this guy and do a turn to wherever, Phoenix, whatever. So you just, you get up, you get ready to do this turn, and the next thing you know, you get to Phoenix, or you get back to, wherever your base is, and the next thing you know, you're going to, on a 4 day trip, and then you're you have two different people you're flying with, three or four different crew members you're flying with, and maybe not be based where you're based, and it's a trip going places you've never been before, because your base doesn't go there, so you're filling in for some, you never know, and so by the end of the fifth, of course, on the fifth day, you might get done at, the latest time possible on your duty day. And then you have 3 days off and you start the whole thing over again. That's typically the life of a reserve pilot. Whereas a line holder, what they call a line holder, where you know where you're going for the whole month, who you're flying with as well. And you might show up at 4 in the afternoon, do one or two legs, and you know where you're going to end up that night. So you travel. You have 4 days on, and you travel in on your first day. You have maybe two or three legs the first day, a couple legs the second day, a couple legs maybe two or three, maybe three the third day or something like that. The last day you might do one flight home and be done in the morning, or you might have a couple legs you'd fly that day and end up done in time to go home that day. So you're really only gone 3 nights. The traveling part on both ends, you still have to do that even if you're on reserve. Sometimes more if you're getting called in one day and then called in the next day, and then you have to drive back and forth to wherever you're going. So it's a crazy world for the reserve pilot, and yet they don't say anything about how much more difficult that is, and your rest requirements are the same. Probably more reserve pilots call in fatigue. Because of that, I would hope, because they are fatigued and they don't recognize it. Anyway, working with that kind of team and in that kind of environment, you learn a lot about people. You learn, you have to be able to adapt and get along with just about anybody. There are some people that you just, you get done with your trip and you're like, that would wore me out. Sometimes it wears you out just to be with a certain individual, the way they act. Their personality type just clashes with yours and you just don't get along with them. And it's like, this is going to be a long 3-day trip, 4-day trip, whatever it is. Even just a 1-day trip can be long if it's somebody that's difficult to get along with. And it's because you're kind of stuck with that person. You have to work in a professional environment. It's high stress. It's high, there's a lot going on. So you have an adaptability, a kind of a resilience thing going on. It's all this stuff kind of mixed up in this dynamic of this work environment that you're in. And of course, if you make a mistake, it's going to be on the national news that night. It's a kind of thing where there's a lot of stress there, a lot of pressure. Now, for the most part, 99% of the time, it is a very highly professional environment, and it's standardized. Everybody knows what to expect from the other people, that kind of thing. When that kind of falls apart, when it changes, or if someone is too wired a little too tight and can't enjoy the job because they're obviously have other kind of personality issues, but there's things that go on there. Now, all it takes is especially for the captains, they more or less set the tone for the entire environment. And I used to train. I used to work in a training department, so I was training guys to be captains. They would come up as the first officers. They were the co-pilots, and I would train them to be captains. And it seemed like there was always a learning moment in the process of training someone as they were upgrading to captain. And during those learning moments, something would happen during training. Now, just stand by for one moment. I'm going to turn off the dehumidifier. I forgot and left on. I usually turn that off. Yeah, that's much better. There was always a learning moment within that whole thing, and someone would cop a bad attitude. Something wouldn't be going right with the training or whatever. Something the machine would whether we were working with, whether it was a GFS or if it was a simulator, whatever it was, full motion, whatever. Something would happen, and there was this moment. There'd be a moment where the potential captain candidate, we'd call them, would be stuck with the situation, and how they met that situation and what they did during that time would say a lot about how they were going to be as a captain, what it was going to be like to work with this guy as a team member, as a team leader. And if some of them would jump in and try to help with the situation, they would say, what can I do? Can I do this? Or they would know what to do. They'd kind of see what needed to be done and help you out. Had a positive attitude, let's get the job done, kind of thing. There were others that would stammer around, pace around, do something. This one guy one day just literally was pacing around behind me as I was trying to work on the issue with this machine that we were working with. And after about 2 minutes of this, I stopped him and I said, this is what you're doing right now is not helping. I said, if you do this as a captain, your entire crew is going to have a bad attitude. You're going to drag them all down, and then you're going to wonder why it's miserable working with these people. And really, you were the key point that started the whole thing. I said it in different words than that. That's kind of a paraphrase of how I said it. But that was the basic gist of what I said. Now, I saw him about a year later with his captain bars on. He pretty much ran across the terminal area, grabbed a hold of me, shook my hand. Said, I've never forgotten what you told me about that. I said, I've been very careful to make sure that I always have an attitude that's going to be the kind of people I want to work around. I'm going to try to uplift that the attitude of the kind of people I want to work with. And it's just, he said, it has paid off many times because you're constantly running into issues, whether you're waiting at the gate, trying to get fuel, you're trying to get the weather issues, mechanical issues, people issues, baggage, passengers, flight attendants arguing amongst themselves, whatever it is that you're having to deal with. And so that you have these, it's, you know, just how you face that crisis, how you face that, that struggle. Now, these kinds of people end up in Congress. They came from the military. And these kinds of attitudes spill over into other people around them. So you have to wonder how in the world they keep morale up in the military in some situations. Some people go into the military because they have no other choice. Some people go in just out of a sense of patriotism. Some go into it as an opportunity to see it as a way to get some training, get some life skills, to develop a network of friends. And that will all happen. That will happen. There will be lifelong friends made in the military. There's no question about that. Any kind of training environment, tough environment, any kind of thing where you're thrown in with a bunch of people, that you're going to walk away with some friends. Forever friends, hopefully. Now, you might be the kind of person who doesn't make friends, or the kind of person. But you might also end up in Congress. And some of these people did. And so these are the people. And I'm going to play this thing right now because hopefully you will not be as incensed as I am. I was affected by this. And it really bothered me. And apparently it bothered the president as well, because he's talking about sedition. Now, of course, the media took it even a step further and said, he's calling for them to be hanged. He's calling for them to be killed, be executed. Well, you know, there's hyperbole, which they're guilty of all the time. But, of course, they grab a hold of anything the president says and tries to twist it around into something else that's not being said. But that's beside the point. Let's listen to this. This is the ad that they put on. And I don't know who they're playing this for. I don't know whether they played online or they played it on YouTube or social media or whatever they posted this. But it was directed, you know, targeted to the military and the intelligence services and everything else. Let's just listen to this. Anybody that falls under the executive branch of the commander in chief. Let's see what they have to say.
I'm here. Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly, by the way, is the former astronaut who was a captain in the Navy. He makes that very clear later on. I could tell you a lot about how these people are speaking as to whether or not to who they really are, because that whole, you know, speaking thing. One thing, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. I do have a tendency to kind of read people very well by their vocal tendencies, because it's just part of the nature of what happens to you when you're dealing with vocal stuff all the time. So Mark Kelly his wife was a congresswoman, I think, congresswoman or senator, maybe a senator. And she was shot. She ended up surviving that, but she was mentally unable to serve basically after that. And it was really bizarre. She was shot by this just a lunatic who was kind of a leftist guy. Just weird deal. It was that, but he was just, he had no, I don't know if you could pin a political position on the guy or not. He was just a wacko. And So anyway, he ended up stepping into service as a representative.
Mark Kelly, Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow. I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
What's creepy about this to me? Now, I know that they do this. This is a marketing technique. They're all reading the same script. They're probably being told, directed very carefully. They probably did several takes of this, because there are moments where they have to pause because they know there's going to be jump cuts in this whole thing, and they're going to have edits throughout the whole thing. Not everybody's reading the script all together. They're reading it separately, but they're combining it together to make each statement an individual, a different individual each time. This is creepy to me. If you've got a statement to make, make the statement. Have somebody come out and read it, stand behind them, say, we all stand behind this. This is a produced thing that probably cost them, I bet it cost them $40,000 or $50,000 just to do this. If just in the raw data footage that they got, not let alone all the promotional, whatever they're paying for, however they promoted it. That's not including coverage. I bet they probably got paid $40,000 or $50,000, or they probably paid $40,000 or $50,000 to get this done. Maybe more. It could have cost them over $100,000 the way things are trumped up in D.C. Because this is where now they don't have as much money sloshing around. This is how they used to slosh money around. They would do something like this, and they would pay the marketing company or the production company $1 million, and that $1 million would then go back to their campaign, and some of their they'd skim off of that and go into other NGOs and everything else that was going on. This could be an NGO. It doesn't say who produced this, but it's this is how that stuff was done. I don't know how all this was done. I don't know what they paid. Maybe they all just did it on their own. I don't know. I don't think so. They obviously weren't in the same room because they all have different backgrounds behind them in the shots here. So they're obviously not filming this in the same place, and don't have the same microphone either because it's all sketchy on that one. Somebody tried to do the best they could to get the sound quality meshed together, but there's only so much you can do with that.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk. This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens. Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right away, this is bothering me. They're insinuating that the president is issuing unlawful orders. They're insinuating that our uniformed military and intelligence agents have a duty to disobey. To the point that their attitude here, now, keep in mind, the media for six years, have told us that the president, by saying, I want you to peacefully and patriotically go down and make your voices heard, I want you to go down and cheer on our brave congressmen and senators who are standing against this. From that which was considered insurrection language, to this, which you're calling for insubordination. Make no mistake about it, folks. If you disobey an order because you think it's illegal, well, you'll have to take that up with either JAG or whoever it is you're dealing with, the military court-martial proceedings that will occur. Disobey a direct order from the commander-in-chief. Keep in mind, President issues a mission, and the people who are under him order their soldiers to carry it out, and you disobey that order. Now, maybe they're generals. Maybe they're talking about the captains and the generals, hoping that they're going to disobey that. Like Milley, General Milley, who shall never be back in any political position again, ever, hopefully, had the audacity to, on his own, go to his counterpart in China and have a discussion with him. Folks, that was directly insubordination, in my opinion. I don't know. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm certainly not a military lawyer. But if I'm running a company, and one of my main employees, my intercabinet advisors, goes off and talks to, let's say I'm running a company called Nike. And one of my employees goes off and talks to one of my major competitors, Reebok. And has a little discussion about how we're going to conduct business. Don't worry, if they do this, I'm not going to allow it. You'd be fired. You'd get no severance. You wouldn't be a layoff. You would be fired. maybe even sued over that. I'm sure that most of those people who work in those kinds of positions sign an NDA, which is not even as big of a deal as taking an oath to protect the Constitution. You also swear an oath to... Well, you basically sign your life away, your property of the state. When you are insubordinate, serious, that's a serious deal. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't question your orders. I'm not saying that if somebody asks you to do something illegal that you shouldn't, that you should do it. I'm not saying that at all. But you better be dang sure, and you better have legal counsel to back you up when you say, I'm not going to obey this order because it's illegal. You better already have your lawyer in the tank ready to speak up for you. In fact, you probably should just have your lawyer say that. You shouldn't even say it. You better take it to the court first. That's not what they're doing here. They're telling the average, everyday soldier out there, or intelligence individual, FBI, whoever it is, not to obey an unlawful... Well, you're just going to determine on your own. And you're going to be on your own when it comes to a court-martial.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad, but from right here at home.
Our law...
Threats to our Constitution. Okay.
Laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is hard and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't.
Now, please, tell me, please, step up and do what, exactly what? First of all, can you tell me, can you give me just one example of an illegal order here, folks? What is it that the president's asking for that's illegal? He makes it sound like, oh, this is imminent and all these things that are happening are all illegal. Name one. Please name one. Just give us one, give us a section code. And tell me what's been broken here. Because you're just kind of throwing this out there very ambiguously, leaving it up to them to decide, well, I was told by my congressman I need to disobey. I can disobey an order because it's illegal. You know that a lot of people believe that it's illegal to, and I still hear this today, even from some people who are in the legal world, will say, well, you know, it's illegal to yell fire in a crowded theater. No, it's not. It's actually not. Show me the law. There's no law in the books that says it's illegal to do that. Everybody likes to say that. You will be held liable, and it is a civil charge if someone gets hurt if you do that. You can be held responsible and liable. Yeah. But there's no law against it. Show me the law. There isn't one. But that's the nature of how we view the law. So tell me, all these people who are in the military, how many of them are legal experts and going to tell you whether it's illegal or not for just because they don't feel like they want to do it or they don't feel like it's right? Doesn't mean, because people, folks, what I'm getting at here is people don't, they get emotionally involved in something. They may just have a hatred for the president. And anything that he asks them to do or orders them to do, they're going to say, oh, that's illegal. I'm not going to do it because it came from the president. It came from Orange Man Bad. There's too much emotional reaction to this situation. And they're doing nothing but throwing gas on this thing. That's what bothers me the most about it. This, in my opinion, is insurrective activity. I don't think that's a word. This is insurrection language right here. This is insubordination, sedition. They're committing sedition, in my opinion. It's seditious. It's not necessarily treason. Dang near it, though. But this is sedition. I would say close to an insurrection. Coming from elected officials, representatives. But I don't see any of my representatives on there. Because if I did, I'd be at their doorstep knocking on their door. You're not representing me. This is not you've got your own agenda here. You're pushing your own personal agenda. This is not who I am. It's not you're not representing me. You're not representing our community. And that's what you're called to do. That's what you're voted for to do. You're not voted on because they make all kinds of promises, get into power, and they consider it power, by the way. They get into power, they don't get into service. And they start wielding this kind of crap around, trying to make political statements and being politically active. And what I mean by that is just social warrior active.
Give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship. I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow. I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
This goes through it twice, basically.
Former Air Force.
I want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day.
By the way, he says they want to speak directly to the members of the military. They're not speaking directly. This isn't a direct. Go to them and speak to them directly. Maybe they don't understand the meaning of the term directly. Posting something on social media that's passive is not directly. That's it's not even direct marketing. Unless they're sending it via email to every single person and posting it in the email so that it will actually play in the email. This is not a direct approach. There's so many things wrong with this whole thing. Well, now the whole thing has kind of exploded because now now the president has come out and stated, you know, very strongly against it, calling it seditious behavior, calling all kinds of things. He might have even said that they need to be hung. Folks, I don't know. If they were actually still in the military, making these kinds of statements. And here's the whole problem with this whole thing, is they remained very much on a very, I would say, subtle innuendo. And yet, the innuendo is very clear. I think there's enough here that you could prosecute somebody if they spoke like this about committing a crime. You would say that they were conspiracy. That's conspiracy to commit a crime. I would say, I don't know. Again, I'm not a lawyer. Maybe some of your lawyers out there can let me know what you think. Even if you're not a lawyer, let me know what you think about what I think about the legal issues here. I just think it's pathetic. They're acting the way they are. And again, I don't think that there's any. I don't know. I'm just appalled. This is the only way I can say it at this point. Now, having said all that, I digress. Let's change gears a little bit here. There's one other thing I want to talk about with the time we have left. It is Friday, by the way, Shabbat Shalom. We have going into the weekend here, and it's. Be interesting to see what kind of things drop now that the government's now opened back up again. So that's got that out of the way. It appears that everything the Democrats try to do always kind of backfires on them. And there's a couple things that were spoken recently. I think this might be one of them. This is Chuck Schumer. I was trying to find this. Schumer made this statement a while back. He was asked some questions by a reporter. This was 2 days ago. This might be the one right here. This might actually be the one. I think that this might actually be. Try to find this. Let's go forward this a little bit. See if they actually. That's not him. They didn't actually put it in there. This is Hakeem Jeffries. Also has said some things that are kind of wacky doodle stuff. Because the Prescott or whatever her name is, what's her name? Epstein. So Epstein, basically the whole thing with Epstein has kind of backfired on him. come to find out, there was this one representative from the Virgin Islands who was actually texting in real time with Epstein during a congressional hearing, getting advice from him. Of course, then we were told that she didn't initiate the conversation. Epstein just showed up. That's not true either. She actually was the first person who texted him that morning, got this conversation rolling. They're going back and forth. Very strange conversation, the way he was acting. A little bit more than just a professional back and forth with a constituent. There was more going on between these two. Let me just put it that way. Because I'm not saying there's anything romantically going on. I'm saying there was more. There's more of a relationship here going on with regard to how familiar they are with each other. Put it that way. Maybe there was. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But there's a whole lot more past between these two than this. Again, this is after he has been. He's already been a convicted child trafficker, and he was arrested again. Of course, this whole thing was about Trump. This was a hearing about Trump. And of course, they were trying to get him. And Epstein hated Trump. Because I'm pretty sure Trump was probably one of the major players in getting Epstein arrested. And he didn't like the guy. And he banned him from Mar-a-Lago. And yet, they still come after him and try to, the president's, Trump's a pedophile. That's what they keep saying because it's, by the way, I can say those kinds of words because I'm not monetized. This entire show is brought to you by me, by the way. I have to just put up with some of my drivel. There's no advertisements. And this is Hakeem Jeffries when he's asked about this issue with, because there was a vote to censure this lady. She has no vote anyway in the House, but she's still a representative. She can speak. And he obviously talked to her before the vote. But he's trying to avoid that question. And these reporters are getting very tired of his answers because he answers the question. He was asked this question like three times by Caitlin, whatever her name is, the other day on a talk show. You'd ask him a question directly. It was a yes or no question. Have you had a conversation with her about this? Well, we're doing all this, blah, 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 blah. He would go off and talk about his cat, or something. It's just totally unrelated to the question. She asked him again, was it inappropriate? Well, she didn't break any law. She didn't do that, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes off then she asked him again, was it inappropriate? Have you had a conversation with her? He goes, well, it's the third time you've asked me, and I'm going to answer the same question. I'm going to answer the question the same way. Well, okay, you're not answering the question. That's the problem. That's why she keeps asking. If you'd have answered the question, she wouldn't keep asking. You don't answer the question. You don't even give a yes or a no. Did you have a conversation with her about it? Well, then come to find out, he did have a conversation with her before the vote, but it was a private conversation. He doesn't want to talk about it. So this is where this thing goes. I don't know why it's not... Well, let's try this because it seems to be having a little issue with the server. Right when I need it most. Here we go.
Epstein is reprehensible.
Oh, this is, I see what's happening. There we go.
Have you spoken to Stacey Plaskett after this controversy?
Stacey Plaskett.
I have not.
Can you confirm if there was a deal last night to sink the resolution against Congressman Plaskett in exchange for not bringing a central resolution?
We've made clear repeatedly we're not going to unilaterally disarm.
So you're saying there was no deal?
I'm saying we will not unilaterally disarm. Not now, not ever.
Mr. Leader, why wouldn't you speak to Stacey Plaskett?
I haven't spoken to her since the central resolution went down.
No, about this text controversy.
I have not spoken to her since the central resolution went down.
No, he's saying, why is this not stopping?
Conversation that will remain private.
Jeffrey Epstein can
okay, this
rot
is
in hell.
Very bizarre that this
and
thing
and
is...
I'm going to make sure he has no peace while he is there. And Ghislaine Maxwell.
Now, this is an interesting statement that she makes here. He can rot in hell and I'm going to make sure he has no peace while he's there. Oh, art. I can only draw a conclusion here that you are apparently in charge of hell. That's what I'm assuming that's what you're in charge of because you're telling me that He can rot in hell, and you're going to make sure he has no peace while he's there. I'm assuming that means you're in charge of what goes on there. I'm not sure what that makes you, but you can fill in the blanks on that one. I'm just saying, this is, what's her name?
Here you have an administration that has a majority and an alleged mandate, and they use that to exact and enact harm on every person who calls this country home. Then Democrats have been using every lever available to us, calling for congressional hearings, which are for survivors, to be centered, to be heard on the record.
Why wasn't there more clamor in the Biden administration to make sure that these files were released?
Here is a key question. This is a key question. Here it is. I want you to hear her answer, because nobody, when they're asked this question, nobody on the Democrats.
Why wasn't there more clamor in the Biden administration to make sure that these files were released?
Well, I can't speak to that. What I will.
And that's the answer they all give. I can't speak to that. I don't know. Let's move on. Trump. Biden had access to this information for 4 years. The Biden administration, the DOJ, the FBI, they all had all this information for 4 years. Are you telling me that if there was anything at all in all this, all the doc? Now, by the way, a lot of the stuff has been destroyed. They had an opportunity to go through and wash their names out of a lot of this stuff. They didn't get to all of it. The 50,000 pages have been released. There was a whole lot more. And there was a whole lot of video and all kinds of other evidence that has been strangely lost by the FBI. Let alone the redactions that happen. But all of a sudden, I can't speak to that. I can't speak to that. I don't know. I can't speak to that because, you know, I don't know. Because you do know. Why all of a sudden is it the Democrats are pushing to get this, the Epstein files now? They hadn't, you never heard anything about it during the Biden administration. Nothing. In fact, it was the Republicans, the Republican voter group, those of us out here in the MAGA world, who were calling for the release of the Epstein files. Because they know, and Trump said it too, all of his friends were Democrats. There were probably a few Republicans mixed up in the thing, and there was a whole lot of money floating around, and with Epstein, and I'm sure some people fell into the trap there. And of course, one of the things that what's her name from Texas ended up kind of sticking her foot in it when she said, well, I only had 20 minutes to get this put together. And I found out that somebody named Jeffrey Epstein donated to Zeller. I think it was Zeller's campaign. So she had names of all kinds of campaigns. She only had 20 minutes to put together. She couldn't verify whether it was the same Jeffrey Epstein. Apparently it was Dr. What was the guy's name? Was it Dr. Jeffrey Epstein? Whoever it was. A different Epstein that donated to this guy's campaign. Of course, she brought it up and it went into the public record. And of course, now it made it sound like Epstein was giving money to everybody. We don't know who had Epstein it was. There's a lot of Epsteins out there and probably a lot of Jeffrey Epsteins. Crockett was her name, Crockett. Of course, then she came out and she pretty much basically said, well, I didn't know that's what it was at the time. But I did know, but I didn't know. And it's just back and forth. And so I had to throw it out there. It was all political theater. She knew she was lying. She knew she couldn't verify the information, but she made it sound like she did the right thing by bringing it up. Well, because the end justifies the means. The right thing means you don't verify anything. You just throw it out there because it's politically active. It's a political grenade that you're going to throw out there. You know, and who cares who's injured by the whole thing? What gets me about this is that what does it say about what she thinks about her supporters and her voters? These are all just sound bites that she uses to manipulate her voters, her the people, because they aren't, apparently they're not very well, let's just put it this way. She doesn't think very much of them. She doesn't have a whole lot of respect for them. She thinks she can get away with this kind of stuff. And she does. She gets away with it. And she can be very articulate when she wants to be, but she can also speak ghetto when she wants to speak as well. She went to a $40,000 a year, or maybe $40,000 for her. She went to a private school. I'm talking high school, as well as a private college. She's not a... ghetto baby. Why
wasn't there more clamor in the Biden administration to make sure that these files were released?
Well, I can't speak to that. What I will say is Donald Trump ran on the release of the Epstein files.
But Congressman, I just want to jump in there because Jeffrey Epstein died in a jail cell in 2019. Yes, Ghislaine Maxwell, who you referred to, was prosecuted, convicted in 2021. But President Biden was in office, Democrats were in office, and could have pushed for this very argument to make sure that survivors were honored.
Sure.
Was it an error?
Sure. Okay, you got me. And that's the proper response. Actually, that was a stupid response because it showed where they were. That was the honest response. That was the honest response we should have from all of them. Yeah, we should have done that. We should have been pushing for it more. We didn't. We were too caught up in trying to explain why Joe Biden was drooling from his face and that was why that was such a good thing. We were too busy clamoring over the cognitive abilities and skills that the president at that time had. He was just outstanding and amazing, all kinds of energy that he had. Couldn't keep up with the guy. Here's another one. Here's another representative.
Judgment to text Jeffrey Epstein during a hearing.
I'll go back here just a
you
second.
You know,
could have pushed for this very argument to make sure that survivors were honored.
Sure.
Was it an error in judgment to text Jeffrey Epstein during a hearing?
You know, I take Stacey Plaskett at her word. And
would you have done the same thing?
I don't. I also agree.
The reporter's kind of going like, okay, you're not. She's got this look on her face like, yeah, you're not going to answer the question. You're gonna stammer around. You're going to give me a whole. It's a yes or no question. Was it inappropriate or not? You know, I take her at her word. Blah 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 blah. Would you have done the same thing? Well, you know, I agree with her that she's, this is a very typical, just pivoting is what they're doing here. But it's just slimy, no answers. Now, if you ask Stephen Miller a question, the current administration, you ask him a question. Hold on, put your helmet on because he's going to tell you. He's going to give you the answer, and it's not going to be the answer you want to hear. It's going to be the answer that they don't want to hear anyway. He's going to tell you like it is. And I think they're getting tired of this kind of drivel.
During a hearing,
you know, I take Stacey Plaskett at her word. And
would you have done the same thing?
I also agree with her that Jeffrey Epstein is reprehensible, and that's her word, and I agree with her.
Well, they also think that Donald Trump is reprehensible. I guarantee if she'd have been taking text messages from Donald Trump, from the Hitler Nazi himself, the fascist, the king, they would probably censor her before the sun came up. I don't know. Yeah.
Boy.
So anyway, this is all courtesy of Black Conservative Perspective, BCP. There's a couple different BCPs. There's a Black Conservative Patriot and there's a Black Conservative Perspective. This guy, I kind of like this guy a little bit better. He has a lot more. Black Conservative Patriot has kind of changed his genre a little bit. It's a little bit harder to listen to him for me. I used to listen to him all the time. He's kind of changed. He went through a time where he was pretending to be a grandma or something because he was being censored, so he had to kind of change his voice. And he had his daughter reading his scripts, and he changed, had another channel. YouTube was cracking down on him really bad, and it put him through this whole ringer of different weird things he had to do in order to maintain his channel. And ever since then, it's just never been the same. I've not gone back to really listening to anything. His format's a little too long for the information he has, much like this show. And I had that's a pot calling kettle black. Listen to an hour long show, and you get about 2 minutes of source information out of it. Talk about my ingrown toenails, which I don't have, by the way. I don't have any ingrown toenails, but if I do, you'll hear about it. That's the thing. That's the point. That whole thing. Anyway. The point being here, folks, that there's another. This goes into this whole thing where Caitlin, whatever your name is, on whatever she's on CNN or whatever she's on, interviews, and you can tell that Crockett is not happy about having to be here and talk about things. She pivots on everything as well. She gets confronted about what she said to Congress in her little speech. See if they actually, they're probably not going to play it, but he's still talking. This might be it right here. Let's see what we got here.
Get into this.
Democrat who's been on defense over Jeffrey Epstein is Stacey Plaskett. She represents the Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
She was texting with Jeffrey Epstein the day of Michael Cohen's hearing. Her questions pretty closely followed the text messages between the two of them to ask about Rona Graff, Trump's longtime assistant. You were defending her today yesterday, and you talked about Republicans taking money from a Jeffrey Epstein. Here's what you said.
Who also took money from somebody named Jeffrey Epstein.
Now, she doesn't say a Jeffrey Epstein. She says somebody named Jeffrey Epstein. She doesn't say a Jeffrey Epstein. Then she starts, now she's claiming, she said a Jeffrey Epstein. No, you said named Jeffrey Epstein.
As I had my team dig in very quickly.
Semantics.
Mitt
important.
Romney, the NRCC, Lee Zeldin, George Bush, Win Red, McCain Palin, Rick Lazio.
Now, listen to the way she's talking here. She doesn't speak this way normally. This sounds more Chicago than Texas. In fact, I would say Georgia or Chicago. This is not Texan ghetto speak, if you want to call it that. Very strange because she's never lived in either of those places. But
you mentioned Lee Zeldin there. He's now a cabinet secretary. He responded and said it was actually Dr. Jeffrey Epstein, who's a doctor that doesn't have any relation to the convicted sex trafficker. Unfortunate for that doctor, but that is who donated to a prior campaign of his. Do you want to correct the record on the people that
listen,
you
Listen, I never said that it was that Jeffrey Epstein. Just so that people understand, when you make a donation, your picture is not there. And because they decided to spring this on us in real time, I wanted the Republicans to think about what could potentially happen because I knew that they didn't even try to go through the FEC. So my team, what they did is they Googled. And that is specifically why I said a Jeffrey Epstein. Unlike Republicans, I at least don't go out and just tell lies.
Unlike Republicans, I don't just go out and tell lies. That was quite the It was quite the what's the word I'm looking for there? Quite an very insinuating. That's what I'm trying to say. And it was this open thing left to in. It was very much intended. If I think she knew it wasn't Jeffrey Epstein. She knew exactly what she was doing. I just want to send them a message. No, I'm not going to lie. Because that's why I said A, by the name of A, Jeffrey Epstein. That's pretty deceptive. And to not back it up with, I made a mistake. I thought it was, and it wasn't. But that's what you should say. Like, what's her name? Sure. When you're confronted with it and you can't bet, there's no place to go. It's like, sure, okay. I have more respect for that than I do for this kind of, because this is the kind of 12-year-old crap that happens. When you confront a junior high kid or an older grade school kid fifth or sixth grade, seventh or eighth grade, especially if it's just typical seventh grader here, typical 12 or 13 year old. You confront them with the truth and they will squirm and squabble because they have enough words to say. They can, now they've learned how to say enough things and try to figure their way out of something. And they try to, they will squirm and squirm and squirm. Until you just literally just have to pin them down to the fact that, look, this is what you did, and I know it, and this is your punishment. You can squabble about it all day long, but you know you did it wrong, and you know at some point you're going to have to own up to it. In the meantime, I'll own up to it for you. It's just interesting stuff. So this is the kind of people we're dealing with, and I'm just telling you. Most of the Democrat Party have emotionally grown to the point of about a 12-year-old. And they react out of those emotions all the time. They are very, very emotionally, there's no logic, there's no reasoning, no debate. It is, I want what I want, and if I'm not getting my way, I'm just going to react with either violence or a tantrum. That is what we're dealing with the majority of Democrats, and I'm unfortunately the leaders of the Democrat Party, if you want to call them that. I don't know that there are any. There's multiple people trying to be leaders, and they are the same kind of people. Chuck Schumer, I think, is one of those parents, you know, if you want to call it that, who has just realizes that the kids have taken over the household, and there's nothing he can do about it. Because he let it go for too long. And that's just where they're at. So that's my opinion. What do you think about what I think? You can let me know. The phone thing. 812-379-8778. Give me a call. Text. You can go to google.com/voice and type it in there if you want to type that number in. 812-379-8778. And leave me a message. Leave me a text. Leave me a voicemail, whatever you want to do. In the meantime, we'll see what happens over the weekend with some of these things that are going on. And we'll go from there. But in the meantime, I'm hoping to have a live show next week. I know that Thanksgiving is coming up Thursday. I should be home Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week. And Monday there'll be a show. Tuesday, maybe probably be a toast show too. I don't know. God bless, folks. Have a great weekend. Take care. Shabbat shalom. And peace to you. See ya.